اوكي، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and welcome to everyone back to our course on علوم القرآن, the sciences of the Quran. The first lesson we did was regarding revelation. And the second lesson we did was regarding the specific book approaching the Quranic sciences. Today, what we're going to do is we're continuing with the topic of revelation, however, from the perspective of types and methods of revelation. So before we delve into the types and methods of revelation, we need to discuss what is the need for revelation, right? Because subhanAllah, in our world today, everyone has an opinion, everyone has a specific set of rules and dogma that they're trying to promote. And so what you'll find is many will tell you that there is no need for revelation, right? We're fine as we are. We are guided by our own morals and, you know, etiquettes and things of those sort. And we don't need any revelation. So first of all, we need to establish, we're saying we need revelation, right? So we need to establish and prove why we need revelation. Now, this is where, as I mentioned before, that Mufti Taqi Uthmani, although he uses Quran and Sunnah quite often, primarily, subhanAllah, one thing he does too is he uses logic and rationale to try and prove certain points. And so we're going to discuss the need of revelation through that lens. In order to live in this world and to realize our true purpose, knowledge is needed, right? So if you want to know your true purpose in life, you have to have knowledge. Now, you see so many people, you know, not just midlife crisis, even earlier than that, youngsters, teenagers, they're wondering what is the meaning of this all? What is the purpose? I mean, many of them will be studying. The youngsters will go to college or university. People slightly older will go to work every single day, day in, day out. And subhanAllah, these countries that have a more of a capitalist worldview, it seems as though it's just about money, 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 working. And subhanAllah, sometimes you struggle to even find time to dedicate to your family. And so what's the point of it all, right? So in order to know our true purpose in life, we need knowledge. Knowledge is gained through three faculties. Namely, number one, senses, your senses. Number two is your intellect. And number three is divine revelation. And divine revelation, this is the third. The third one here is what anyone, most people who believe in a God, a creator, or a religion will have this third category. But everyone else will agree that senses and intellect is necessary in your quest to seek knowledge. Now, each of these levels provide us with knowledge, yet each level has a limit beyond which it cannot traverse. So if you look at the first level here, it takes you up to a certain point, right? Senses will take you up to a certain point, after which you will need to make use of intellect to understand certain things. And even intellect will have a limit. And past that limit is what we have and what we call divine revelation, wahi. Let's take a look at an example. Take the example of a person sitting in front of you, or me sitting in front of this screen, right? Your senses will tell you that I'm a person. I have a mouth and nose. I have eyes. I have a beard, right? Your senses will tell you I'm wearing a funky hat. Also, your senses will tell you he's speaking in English. All of these things, you can tell that there is a living person sitting right in front of you or on a screen in front of you. But the senses won't tell you more about me beyond what you can actually see and sense. So the next level, the level of intellect. Now, although you cannot see my parents, I'm pretty sure, or every single one of you would be pretty sure that I have parents or had parents. Alhamdulillah, they're both alive. Allah keep them healthy and give them barakah. But you can deduce that right away. A person sitting in front of you, he should have parents. But you cannot see my parents. Therefore, intellect is what you will use to determine that I have parents. Now this, as I said, it's unattainable through senses. If my parents are not right in front of you, you won't be able to tell. So that's the second level. Now, divine revelation. So, number one, senses tell you that I am a person. Number two, intellect tells you that I have parents. Now, divine revelation will tell you what my true purpose in life is and what my responsibilities are to my fellow human beings, to all creation, and finally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. This information cannot be determined through senses or intellect. So it could be argued that some of these points regarding creed and belief can be established through intellect, such as the existence of a creator, without doubt, can be established through rationale and through logic. But not every hukm of Sharia can be understood through intellect. What we have there is divine revelation. So each of these levels have limits. Also take the example of a long winding road. Now, just take a look at this picture. Before I tell you, I'd like some suggestions from some of the students here, inshallah. Tell me what you can deduce from this through your senses, through your intellect. Anyone? You can type it out or you can speak on the... Okay, right. So senses, my sense tells me that there's a road here and I can travel down this road. But my sense tells me that the road ends on the horizon. Right? The road is going to be limited to what I can see. And since I do not have super vision, the limit is going to be the horizon. Now, some people might see that, and if they have no intellect, will say, you know what? I'm just going to sit down. The road is not, it ends there on the horizon, and therefore, I'm just going to stop here. The road leads somewhere. Yes, sky blue, straight path. Yeah, all of that, mashallah. Yep, very good. The point is, the senses, the road is there, but that's all I can see. And what we're trying to establish here is the fact that there's a limit to the senses. We can't see beyond our capability, and so we will never know. If we stay where we are, we're never going to know what's beyond, or does that road really end there, or does it carry on? Now, intellect will tell us that if you keep going, the road will open up. And if you keep going, the road will open up further. You keep going, the road will open up further. And if it doesn't, definitely will be a turn somewhere. And then you turn right or left and you keep going. But this is intellect. You need intellect to be able to discern that the road will eventually open up. However, there's a limit to that. You can't just endlessly keep taking a path and keep going without any aim. And where do you find that out from? You find that out in this example on signposts, right? So you have a signpost that says M1, M6, A47, for example, and that will tell you, okay, I know which road I'm going on now. So if I go south and it's M1, I will eventually end up in London. And if I go north M1, I will eventually end up near Manchester. So you need something external, an external source, to be able to guide you in where you are going. You have the capability to go, you have the capability to see, but something external is needed to tell you where you are going. So in the same light, subhanAllah, we have senses, we can look around, we can see. And the second level after that, we have intellect, we understand certain things. But subhanAllah, there are certain points that there is no way we will be able to deduce by ourselves. And so what do we need? We require Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reveal these rules and regulations to us about our true purpose in life and how to live our lives. Definition of revelation. What is revelation? So I've just put the whole definition here on the screen. Wahi is that method through which Allah communicates His message to a selected servant of His, a messenger who in turn delivers Allah's message to people. Further, Wahi holds the position of sacred educative link between Allah and His servants and is experienced only by the prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Very important points here that define revelation for us. Communication from Allah. A chosen selected servant. What does this tell us? This tells us that wahi cannot be earned, right? You cannot earn wahi by through your excessive worship and attaining it. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whomever He wills. Allah knows best where His message should go, as He mentions in the Quran. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it holds a position of a sacred educative link between Allah and His servants and is experienced only by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is very important. We spoke about this briefly last week, in that I think someone had a question about, you know, I think it was about batini ilm and shouldn't the rules and regulations be restricted to batini sources, right? And this is the important point here, that it's an educative link, a sacred educative link, and it's something that is only experienced by prophets. Now, sometimes you can receive and what we know as intuition, ilham, things like that. But the difference between that and what the prophets receive and wahi is that there is certainty that what the prophets receive is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas anything anyone else receives, there's always going to be questions, and you cannot use it as definitive proof, right? So this is the definition of revelation. Let's have a look at the types of revelation. There are two primary types. Recited revelation, wahi matlu. This is the Quran. So the actual verses we see today in the Mus'haf, the Noble Quran, is recited revelation, wahi matlu. Matluun comes from tilawa, which means to recite. That is one type of revelation. The second type of revelation is non-recited revelation, what we call wahi ghayr matlu. And what would this be? Anyone? What would wahi ghayr matlu be? If wahi matlu is the Quran, what is wahi ghayr matlu? MashaAllah, yes, hadith. Yep, brilliant, hadith. Now, it might be quite obvious to some why hadith is considered wahi ghayr matlu. If we consider the verses of the Quran, wherein the Prophet, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. That وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, he does not speak from his own desire, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ, it is only revelation which is revealed to him. Right, subhanAllah. And a similar verse, actually, it's almost word for word you'll find in the Old Testament. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. It's given as a prophecy for the last prophet. It says regarding him that he will not speak from his own whims and desires, but whatever is revealed to him, he shall speak that. So, to some of us, it's quite obvious that hadith is important, and we consider it to be non-recited revelation. However, an important point, the hadiths are subject to a analysis of the chains. Not every hadith can be taken eyes closed, right? The chains must be analyzed. Are they reliable? Are they authentic? You know, what's the message in there? So many things, and this is the topic of Mustalah al-Hadith and Jarh and Ta'deel, right? We won't go so deep into that. However, it's important to note that those are hadith that are proven to be reliable and proven to be sahih. There is absolutely no excuse for denying them, right? Those that are ruled to be reliable by majority of the ummah, there's no excuse for denying them. Unfortunately, what we find today is it's become very popular to deny any hadith, even in the hadith collections that are for centuries have been agreed upon to be reliable, completely reliable, yet you will find more and more people starting to question and starting to deny these hadith. Mufti Taqi Uthmani in his book stresses this again and again, very, very, very important. And again, we need to establish that there is revelation in hadith. The first thing that we will mention as proof, again, but it's through a hadith. Someone might argue, you know, this is counterproductive now. You're mentioning a hadith to prove a hadith. We'll mention it anyway. أَلَا إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ, which means, listen, I have been given the Quran and something like it with it. That's from the hadith. Let's take another example, though, from the Quran. In the Quran, who knows? We know what our Qibla is, right? We know where the Qibla is. What's the direction of our Qibla? Anyone? The direction of our Qibla. The Kaaba, brilliant. The Kaaba, right? Anyone know what the Qibla was before the Kaaba? Good. Masjid al-Aqsa. Brilliant. Masjid al-Aqsa. If you analyze the Quran, you will find the order, the command to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to face Mecca. Right? You will find that command. You will find it. There's a number of times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it. There is a command where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba to face the Kaaba. However, the command to face Baytul Maqdis is not found anywhere in the Quran. Now, some might argue and say, well, then there's a question as to whether that was truly the case or not, whether that hukam was given or not. But subhanAllah, the hukam is not in the Quran, but Allah makes reference to the command in the Quran, which is very interesting. There's a verse in the Quran wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, excuse me, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولَ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ. We did not establish the Qibla which you used to face except to see who obeys the Prophet from those who turn on their heels. So Allah is making reference here to the instruction, the order to face Masjid al-Aqsa, yet we do not find that command and that order in the Quran. So this verse proves to us that there are certain commands, certain orders that were given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he commanded his people to do, but you will not find those in the Quran. This shows that you absolutely need and require hadith, right? Very, very important. I cannot stress this enough. Non-recited revelation, there was a couple of points that needed to be mentioned. So yeah, the chains must be analyzed. You cannot deny authentic and reliable hadiths, and here are the hadiths and the verse of the Quran. Ala inni utitu al-Quran wa mithlahu ma'ahu, and this is the verse of the Quran. Wama ja'alna al-qiblata allati kunta 'alayha. We did not make the qibla which you were facing. Kunta 'alayha, you were facing before, right? That is a hukam which was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is not found in the Quran. So now that we've covered the definition of revelation, sorry, we began with the need for revelation, followed by definition of revelation and the types of revelation. What we'll look at now is the methods of revelation. Direct inspiration in the heart. Sorry, I've got a comment here. It's like the Quran tells us to establish salah, but how to perform it is known through hadith. Exactly. Brilliant. Jazakumullah khairan. Exactly the point. How do we pray? There is absolutely no way from the Quran for you to know how to pray salah. We have waqimus salah, waqimus salah, waqimus salah again and again and again. But the detail is found in the hadith. Right? Sometimes you'll find certain people, Quraniyun and things like that, who are very liberal in their understanding of the deen, and they think it's quite justified to just take this hadith or leave that hadith and at their own discretion. And the most troubling thing is if a person denies a hadith based on the status of the hadith, then that is a valid debate. You cannot argue that, right? But unfortunately, what we'll find is a lot of the people who deny many of these narrations, they're denying them based on logic, their understanding, their limited understanding, their rationale. And so it might not make sense to them. And hence, what you'll find is an absolutely sahih hadith. And even sometimes some concepts that are considered mutawatir, but because it doesn't conform to a person's rationale, they will say, you know what, this hadith is questionable, right? This is not the way of the majority of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The majority of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if the hadith has been proven to be sahih, and especially if it's mutawatir, mass transmitted hadith, then there's no excuse to deny it. So methods of revelation, direct inspiration in the heart. Ilqa fil qalb. This is known as ilqa fil qalb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires something in the heart of the Prophet, with no involvement of any angel or any physical senses. It's literally something that's just been placed in the heart, as ilqa'ul qalb. Ilqa fil qalb, that's what it means. No sound can be heard, but it is known to be inspiration from Allah. This is key. This is very important, as we said before. If someone else other than a prophet receives inspiration, there's always a question or a doubt as to whether that's truly inspiration or not. With a prophet, there is no doubt. There can be no doubt, right? That is wahi, direct inspiration in the heart. Second type, revelation through speech, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam or any prophet directly without the intermediary of an angel. Because this type involves a direct address from Allah, it is obviously the most superior. It is for this reason that when describing the virtue of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. In the first category, how does the Prophet decipher it from waswasa? Now, in the first category, as a general rule, general point, the Prophet does not get waswasa. General rule, general point. And then we have the discussion regarding, I don't want to necessarily get into it too deep right now, but there's some narrations that speak of waswasa from shaitan, and some verses of the Quran that have been reported, some verses of the Quran wherein it insinuates that. However, majority of the scholars will say that that narration is very problematic. It has a lot of problems. And so, you know, they call it satanic verses. There's a narration which is not so strong, not so reliable, and not so famous, where they say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something which was not part of wahi, and it was something that Shaitan whispered to him, and he read it back to Jibreel, and Jibreel said, wait a minute, that's not what I told you, this extra part here, and it's praising idols, na'udhu billah. There's been endless analysis of these narrations, and again, even using the historical critical method, the vocabulary and the words used in that hadith does not match anything from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, there's words in there that were not even coined at that time, and so it's very problematic. So what we would say is, in the first category, there is no waswasa from shaitan to the prophets, right? There is the question, obviously, with you know, Adam alayhi salam. Without a doubt, that waswasa is there. Again, the Prophet Adam alayhi salam, he wasn't under any illusion as to where that thought or where that whisper came from. He knew it wasn't from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just that he was tricked into believing something that wasn't true, that if he ate from the tree, then he would live eternally and worship Allah for eternity. And so that's why he did it. So generally speaking, there is no form of waswasa that a prophet receives that he thinks is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without a doubt, there's nothing like that. Yeah? I hope that answers the question. Right, so revelation through speech. Musa alayhi salam is particularly known to have had this revelation. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also spoke directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in particular on the night of Mi'raj. There was revelation which was direct speech. In terms of whether the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not is a famous difference of opinion that spans all the way back to the time of the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And so some companions believed he did see Allah, some companions believed he did not. I digress though, let's carry on. Revelation through an angel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes communicates his message through the medium of an angel. The angel is at times not seen, only a sound is heard. Other times the angel appears in the form of a human being and he conveys the message. However, also, the Prophet might be able to see the angel in his true form. However, this is incredibly rare, and we'll speak about this further, inshallah. So this is the methods of revelation. What we're going to look at now is some of the descriptions of revelation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shared in the hadith. The first one is ringing like a bell. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the famous hadith of Bukhari, أَحْيَانًا يَأْتِينِي مِثْلَ صَلْصَلَةِ الْجَرَسِ. Sometimes it comes to me like the ringing of a bell. Now, what does this mean, ringing of a bell? This does not necessarily mean that he could hear ringing of bells, right? According to many scholars, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying ringing like a bell is, he was giving an example of one aspect of a ringing of a bell. So for example, how a bell rings continuously, he was saying that the noise was coming to me, or the sound was coming to me continuously. Another example that certain scholars give is, just as the narration says, it came to me like the ringing of a bell. The meaning is that usually when a bell is rung, it's difficult to discern what direction the sound is coming from because it reverberates everywhere. And so it's difficult to discern. Hence, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant is that the sound was like a ringing of a bell in that I didn't know where the sound was coming from, which direction. It seemed to be coming from every direction, subhanAllah, right? What was this ringing of a bell, though? Again, scholars have difference of opinion. Some say it was the sound, it was the voice of the angels. Others say it was the flapping of their, fluttering of their wings. Wallahu a'lam, this is all speculation. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that it was the hardest on him? Yeah, good point. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that this was the most strenuous and difficult for him, because in the other forms we're going to discuss them, there was someone there almost having a discussion with him, whereas here he really felt the strain in that he had to concentrate and listen to what was being said, especially in the beginning. In the beginning, he found it very difficult. In the beginning, he used to listen and at the same time move his lips in trying to memorize what was being read to him. Until Allah revealed, لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمَعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ. Don't move your lips, very fast trying to memorize it. We will recite it to you and we will explain it to you. So in the beginning especially, but when there was no, tangible or nothing that he could sense in front of him or see, he felt an amazing strain. And that strain would translate into people and things that were around him. So there's the incident where he was sitting on an animal and the animal crouched down because of the strain, because of the difficulty. And so he felt he had to exert more effort in trying to focus. Again, you'll find narrations where he would close his eyes and he would look down and he seemed to be meditating almost, right? So again, when a person's meditating, there's a lot of focus that needs to go into what you're trying to think about. And so here, this is why, again, the ringing of a bell, if you had a bell ringing in your ear continuously, again, we're not saying that it was a bell, but the Prophet ﷺ is clearly drawing some comparisons here. Why are alarms to wake up in the morning, why do they sound the way they sound? Obviously to get you up, right? You turn it off. It's difficult to listen to something like that continuously, right? And so understanding it in that way, it becomes quite clear why this type of revelation seemed to be the hardest on him. Once I stood under a giant bell in a cathedral. It was painful on the eardrum and the ground was vibrating when it was struck. Maybe ringing of bell was the effect of the wahi on the body, similar to the vibrations from a giant bell. SubhanAllah, I've never heard that before, but that's a really good explanation, SubhanAllah, right? It checks out because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Had we revealed this Quran upon a mountain, you would see it crumbled and humbled before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, yeah, possibly, mashallah, brother Mazhar. Right. So, the second type or the second form is angel. The second description of revelation is the angel would come in human form. There is a companion, one companion in particular, that they knew in whose form Jibreel alayhi salam used to come. Does anyone know who that companion was? Who was the companion that Angel Jibreel used to come as to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sometimes. Yeah, mashallah, Dihya Kalbi. Dihya Kalbi was extremely handsome. And subhanAllah, the angels are made of light, extremely beautiful. And so he would come in the form of the most beautiful person there. That was at times he would come in the form of Dihya Kalbi. However, he also came in human form, but as a stranger that no one knew. The famous hadith of Hadith Jibreel, the companions say, we saw him, la ya'rifuhu minna ahadun. None of us recognized who he was. Sorry. Angel in original form. Now this happened only three times in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life. Once was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam requested him to see him. The second time was during the ascension, Mi'raj to the heavens, and the third time was in the early days of prophethood in the Ajyad area. In Makkah, there's an area known as Ajyad. Even now, when you leave the Haram, if you're leaving the Haram with your back towards the Kaaba, then towards the left-hand side, that area is the Ajyad area. So he saw him at this area in Ajyad. The first two, which is when he requested, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam requested him if he could appear in his original form. And the second time, which is in Mi'raj, these two are authentic, while the third has a weak chain and therefore is slightly doubtful. But angels coming in original form, this was another way that the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another point, true dreams. Now, many scholars deny that any of the Quran was actually revealed through dreams. However, wahi ghair matlu. What was wahi ghair matlu? Wahi ghair matlu was the revelation that is revealed, but it's not part of the Quran, it is not recited. That would be revealed in dreams. What about when he was little, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having his heart cleansed, were they not in their original forms? No, they weren't in their original forms. The narration actually mentions some of the children who were there playing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that some men came and took him, right? And so they were not in their original forms at that time. True dreams. As I said, you know, wahi ghair matlu, yep, perfectly fine in true dreams, but many scholars deny that there is any actual wahi matlu from the Quran through dreams. The narration, again in Bukhari, where we find wahi ghair matlu was mentioned in the Quran, it was actually the first stage of wahi, right? The أول ما بدي به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الوحي الرؤيا الصادقة في النوم. The first stage of wahi that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم experienced was true dreams. And he explains and he says, or the Aisha رضي الله عنها says, he would see a dream and then the following morning it would materialize like day, subhanAllah. It would happen exactly as he saw it. So this is one way or one description in which wahi can come to the prophets. Right. Now, logical need for revelation. Those who believe in God, right, those who believe in God will accept the existence or the need for revelation. However, those who deny the existence of God, when you call them, you know, modernists, materialists, atheists, and so on, those who deny the existence of God, arguing about revelation with them is absolutely futile. Subhanallah, many of us need to understand this. You know, we get dragged into, or some of us happily jump headfirst into debates that have no real outcome. Reason being is we're trying to establish and we're trying to argue the wisdom of a certain hukum in the Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a lot of these people, subhanAllah, they don't believe. And so arguing about revelation with someone who does not believe in a God is absolutely futile. However, for those who do believe, there's certain questions that we can pose to them, right? That if you do believe that this world has been created by an all-powerful being, then how is it ever conceivable that our purpose in life will not be conveyed to us somehow? Right, we believe that this all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful God has created us and brought us into this world. Why? For no reason. No reason at all. It's just, you know, subhanAllah, I don't know, na'udhu billah, don't want to say anything blasphemous, but, you know, it does sound absolutely ludicrous, right? If we are brought into this world by an all-powerful creator, there must be a purpose to that, right? That's number one. Number two, what's so impossible about revelation, right? Now, I don't know what kind of connections you guys have right now on this Zoom call, but my laptop right now is wireless. There is absolutely no connections. Can I get some responses about where you guys are from, please? Anyone? India, mashallah. Mazhar is from India. Muhammad Mia? England. Okay, let's take India as the example. I am communicating with you. You are seeing me. You are seeing my face from India in real time. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, then subhanAllah, you need to go back a couple of years and see what we were able to or what we were not able to do some years ago. When we were kids, we were discussing this. Oh, subhanAllah, I had the funniest conversation yesterday. My nephew asked his dad, when you were young, did you guys used to communicate through birds? So I don't know. He must have seen he must have seen something on TV or something on YouTube, and you know, that this was a classical way that people used to communicate. And so he, Allah bless him, he said he assumed that we used to communicate through birds. I said it wasn't so far off, though. I mean, you couldn't connect or you couldn't talk without wires. We would have a wired phone, and obviously after that it became cordless, but it was a landline. We'd have to communicate through there, right? And subhanAllah, look at it now, right? You've got a screen right in front of you, and you're seeing my face, and I'm talking to you, and we're happy to believe all of that. We see it right in front of us. But then when you think that there's an almighty God and he sends a message somehow to a human being, that's where we draw the line and say, I'm not sure, subhanAllah. It's unfair. It's quite funny that we would accept one and not the other. Subhanallah, you know, we've got, you know, Elon Musk trying to do this new Neuralink in the brain so that communication can, you don't need any peripherals or any type of gadgets, and you just communicate like that, and we're all willing to believe that, we're willing to understand and say, yeah, it's possible. But subhanAllah, when it comes to Allah, when it comes to wahi, no, we draw the line there. Again, like I said, the motivating aspect that pushes people to deny wahi and revelation is that once you agree that there's wahi, once you agree that there's revelation, you realize that you have responsibilities, right? And people don't like those responsibilities. You realize that there's limits. You realize that there's restrictions. And this is one thing, especially in our world today, which people cannot understand, and they cannot, they don't like that. That there's responsibilities, restrictions, obligations. And there shouldn't be any of that, they say. And this is why you'll find many people deny revelation. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Right, so we've got 10 minutes left, inshallah. If anyone wants to ask any questions.
As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh Mazhar here one more time. Sheikh, am I audible? Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, am I audible? Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, am I audible?
Let me see on here if there's any messages on here. Someone's talking. I haven't muted anyone. I can't hear anyone, subhanAllah.
Sheikh, can you hear?
Is Mazhar audible? Let me have a look. Have I muted everyone? Let me have a look. Hold on. Apologies. Give me 1 second. Participants. No. Okay. So that's mute. Oh, no. Oh, subhanAllah. Hold on. I think I know what the problem is. Give me one moment. Yeah, Brother Mazhar, you want to try again?
Am I audible, Sheikh? Assalamu alaikum.
Got you there. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Apologies.
No problem. Sheikh, in the first part of your presentation, you talked about the senses and the intellect and then the revelation. Yes. Maybe it appeared to me like these are the levels, yes. And maybe I'm wrong and maybe you can correct me, but I think that Intellect and senses are intellect. They're interlinked with each other. Even if your intellect is, making some conjecture, then it's because of the data set that you have, which has been put in through the senses already. Yes. Other than that, maybe I would like to add something also over here. Maybe I'm wrong. You can tell me. I think out of the certain literatures that I have read, there can be an exceptional category of Wahi, which even goes beyond and surpasses the general category of Wahi.
Okay.
For example, in this book by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, Darut Ta'arud al-Aqli wa Naql.
Okay.
So he was talking about the categories of right and wrong. And he said that there are three categories of right and wrong. First can be deciphered through reason. And this is where the philosophers flourish. And he says that you don't need a revelation in this category. For example, a man, beating his old mother. An atheist would also say that this is something wrong. It's something put inside your heart which tells you that it's wrong. And that's this is where the logic and the reason, prospers. And then second is the category of the revelation, where Allah says that something is wrong. And if there's something right, then that is because Allah says that is right.
Yes.
Then he says that there's a third category which goes even beyond, the comprehension of a general theologist. He calls it, supra-rational. It's like, a general wahi would say that you cannot kill an innocent person.
Yes.
But then Allah tells in wahi to Ibrahim alayhi salam to slaughter his son. And another example is of, Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam, where Musa alayhi salam gets shocked when he sees Khidr alayhi salam killing a boy. Musa alayhi salam getting shocked is like, a theologian getting shocked because of all the knowledge of theology that he has. Because there was something wrong. And yet, Allah says that Khidr alayhi salam is more knowledgeable than Musa.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But as you pointed out, we, in general, generally are not required to go according to the supernatural, as you mentioned. And so the levels that we mentioned initially, those are the general levels. But of course, you're absolutely right, subhanAllah. We do have those stories. Allah does that, or Allah gives those kinds of wahis for a specific reason, for a specific time. They're the exception. You're absolutely right. Jazakallah khairan for that. Any other questions does anyone else have? Are you speaking to your sheikh? Is mazhar audible? Okay, I've got that now. Again, five more minutes, or a couple of minutes, inshallah. I know all of what we spoke about before about technology and how everything happens. Everything can be explained. I'm sure the engineers and the scientists will explain these things to you. But subhanAllah, sometimes it's baffling, subhanAllah. It's almost like sihr, almost, right? And some scholars are of that opinion. I mean, some people might just say they're just conspiracy theorists or whatever, but subhanAllah, it's difficult not to see it as magic and sihr. Sorry, what will our next lesson be about? Will it carry on from this? No. So revelation at this point, this was what we were talking about from the Prophet, from the angel, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the angels to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we're going to look at next week is compilation and preservation, inshallah. And so this is now, the step, or if we say from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the angel to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what we're going to look at next week is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the companions, and how the Quran was compiled, how it was preserved. And subhanAllah, it's nothing short of a miracle, as we say, about the Quran and how it has been protected. Inshallah, if no one's got any questions, we can call it a day, inshallah. For those of you in England, you can start getting ready for your iftar. for those of you in India, Brother Mazhar, what is it, Taraweeh? Have you prayed? I think you've probably prayed already.
Yes, yes, it's 11 p.m. now.
Mashallah, Allah give you ajr and tawfiq, mashallah, this time you signing in for lesson.
Definitely, Ameen. Thank you so much, Sheikh.
Wa yakum, no worries. Barakallahu feekum. Right, so we'll call it a day there, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, guys, for signing on. Inshallah, see if you can spread the word and pass the message on more people that we can get on these live streams. It'll be better, inshallah. So, Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.